We're very pleased to again welcome to our show Franklin Sanders. And many people know him as the Money Changer, or the most dangerous man in the Mid-South. And you'll find out if you visit his website, The Money Changer, which is T-H-E and then a dash moneychanger.com, and also volunteerpreciousmetals.com. Franklin, I don't subscribe to many newsletters, but I do subscribe to yours, and I recommend it to everybody. You have a free newsletter, which we'll talk about at the end, I think, but also a paid newsletter. But tell us about your background a little bit, and because we're going to be talking about digital currencies that may be coming to the United States.
Well, since 1980, I've been in the gold and silver business, handling physical gold and silver investments in physical gold and silver. And I've written a monthly money changer newsletter all that time. And I write about markets, gold and silver, monetary issues, inflation, fiat money, the cost of it, the price of it, and occasionally alternative medical theory, medical things. And the main, you know, what I try to do is take a different view than just the straight mainstream view. Used to, people call me a conspiracy theorist. But, you know, the odd thing is nowadays, they're all the conspiracy theorists. And so I think maybe I was just about 20 or 30 years ahead of my time. But I've been studying monetary issues since 1967. And you won't believe who got me interested in it. A fellow named Alan Greenspan. And he wrote an essay in a book called Capitalism, the Unknown Ideal, that I read, and he said that there's nothing in the world like a gold standard. Nothing else would work. Everything else stole from the people. And he was absolutely right, but then I guess his ambition got the best of him because he forgot about that in his later years. Mm-hmm. But you want to talk about central bank digital currencies, and most of the things I'm going to say to you, anybody can go on the internet and find out. I've been studying them for about three and a half years, and writing about them for three and a half years. And I think, I'm not really sure, but I think that the central banks have been planning on these for 10 or 15 years. They certainly want it. And the main thing I'd like for your listeners to understand is this is not about currency. This is not about convenience. This is not about implementing technology. It's about control. It's all about social control. That's what it's about. And if you doubt that, you can go on the internet and you can find a picture of a big fat bank, central banker who works for the BIS now, I think. And he says the reason we don't want to get rid of cash is because we can't control where those bills go. So it's an article of social control. And they, and you know, architects of central bank digital currencies admit that they want it combined with a social credit system like they have in China already. And by that, what I mean is they track everything that you do. And if you do things they don't like, you lose social credit points. If you do things they like, you get social credit points.
And that also applies to your opinions as well. Is that not true?
Oh, my goodness. Yes. And so what that means is, let's say they want you to invest in some kind of green investment. Well, you get extra points for doing that. But if you write an article that appears on the news, on the internet, that says all green investing is hogwash because global warming is hogwash, you're going to lose social credit points. And if you lose enough social credit points, you can see that they just turn you off altogether. They just cut off your access to your wealth altogether. This is not the figment of my crazed imagination. This is the way the thing will work out, because we know this. Whenever governments have a power, they will use that power to the furthest extent. And if you doubt that, there are two mornings that have sent a chill through the world in the last 6 months. The first came from Canada, where Trudeau cut off the access to digital assets of all his opponents of his COVID policies. If you want to know what the future looks like with central bank digital currencies, you look at what Trudeau did in Canada to all those people. He cut off their access to digital assets, all their digital assets. They had no money. Then the next thing that happened was U.S. sanctions against Russia, where the U.S. in effect just voided all of $300 billion worth of Russian central bank assets. So the message that's been sent out to the world is digital assets are not safe. Dollars are not safe. If the people in power decide that you're a person they don't like, they can cut you off. And unless somebody feeds you, you're going to die. It's just that simple. This is about freedom. It's about control. Not anything else. It's about, I don't know how much your listeners know about the World Economic Forum and the Great Reset, but the whole COVID hoax was part of this same program to exert and impose control on individuals globally. And it's a, the best word I can use to describe it is demonic. Because it's filled with a hatred of mankind and a hatred of freedom so virulent that nobody looking at it could deny it. So central bank digital currencies, they're going to tell you it's the wave of the future. They're going to tell you we've got to have them. Roughly 60% of the central banks in the world are working on digital currencies today. The United States Federal Reserve is one of those that's working on them. But this has nothing to do with efficiency. It has nothing to do with updating to some kind of new technology. It has everything to do with imposing social control and making sure that they can enforce any kind of decree they want. Now, but let me just add a little something. If you go back to, 6 years, 8 years, you'll find even longer than that, back to 2008, you'll find that when central banks began imposing zero interest rates, they were all chafing because there was no way they could force people to spend money. A zero interest rate, if you think about it, is a punishment on savers because it means that you have to pay the bank for holding your money. And I remember in particular one Danish, I think it was Danish Central Bank study, where they were complaining they couldn't make people spend money. So if they had some way to force them to spend money, well, one of the things that's been suggested with central bank digital currencies is that you would put the money in the account and it might have an expiration date. They might say, if you haven't spent the money by such and such a date, it expires, so that forces people to spend it. Let me make clear, too, that what I have seen is all assumes that central bank digital currencies will be composed, will be created by individuals having accounts at the central bank. Now, you have to understand that's a fundamental change in our system because no individuals have accounts at the central bank. It's the banker's bank. It's the bank. It's the central bank where bankers borrow money and so forth. Bankers, the commercial bankers, take deposits and they're what's called intermediaries. They take the individual's deposits and they make loans based on those deposits. So what you have to understand is if they do a central bank digital currency the way they've been talking about, if they construct it the way they've talked about, it does away with the banks. It does away with the banks. So what it would do is centralize all control over lending, that is access to capital, in the power of the central bank. Now, we know already what a great job they do managing the currency, right? I mean, because your money is worth about half today what it was 4 or 5 years ago. So we know what a great job they do managing the currency, how accurate they are at predicting what's going to happen in the economy and in markets, which is not at all. So what in the world will happen if they have control over all the lending in the economy? What will happen if they have controlled access? It'll be a nightmare. It'll destroy the U.S. economy.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the banks are fighting back, and the banks are saying, oh, no, we can't have this, because it's literally a fight for their survival. And it's a strange thing because, as you know, the banks pretty well control the United States government. But all I can tell you is these are the things that are in the air. These are the things that are in the literature about central bank digital currencies. And, you know, I'm not making it up, but I kept reading from the very first time I read it. I thought, wait a minute, if they give individuals accounts at the central bank, what happens to the banks? And the answer is the banks go out of existence.
Well, some of them recognize that already. A number of them sent a joint letter, as you, I'm sure, know, to the House Financial Services Committee,
right?
Because they know that they will go out of business. Somebody once said, at no point in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
And I haven't heard that, but that's true.
Yeah, it is. So I suggest people too Google. You mentioned this, what happened in Canada. Just Google a phrase like Canada Trudeau seizing his opponent's digital assets or something like that to find out what happened and how people were punished. I wish we had more time, Franklin. I do want to ask you one question. Given all this, how do we protect ourselves against central bank digital currencies?
Well, they want a cashless society. They want that control. So what you have to do is go to an analog asset. And the only financial analog assets are gold and silver. You have to have something outside of their system that they can't control. And believe me, Bill, I've seen in my business people making big decisions to do exactly that in the last year and a half. I've never seen anything like it, in fact. I've never seen anything like the commitments that people are making. And they call up and they say, listen, I'm afraid to leave my money in the bank. I don't know what's going to happen to the economy. I don't know what's going to happen to the dollar. I don't know about this central bank digital currency, the cashless society. And so what they do is they're converting their digital assets into analog assets, which is silver and gold. And of course, there are other assets too that are outside the system, like your own personal skills or a piece of land where you can grow a garden and make a living. Okay. But this is not, they want, believe me, the establishment, the people who run this country, they want this central bank digital currency very badly. And it's globalists all over the world want it. So this is not, I'm not just playing Chicken Little here. I'm telling you, they're going to try to get it. And I think, I hope, since COVID, I think COVID drew a long line down American society, and I think about a third of the people realize now they can't trust their government, and they certainly can't trust them to tell the truth about what they're doing. So I'm hoping there'll be widespread rejection of central bank digital currencies.
Well, I know we kept you longer than we promised, but I do have a quick question, because I'm sure a lot of people are listening to you and you're saying, okay, the only alternative to the slavery of digital currencies, central bank digital currencies, would be gold and silver, as you call it, the analog currencies. But a lot of people say, well, the government outlawed gold at one time. So how do we know if I have a bunch of gold and silver, the government's going to just outlaw possession of it and I won't be able to spend it or cash it in?
Well, they're going to outlaw guns, too. You going to go turn your guns in?
Okay.
I mean, let's face it. Government does not have the power or the authority. I mean, they may have the power, but they do not have the authority or the right to tell people they have to starve to death. They can't force people to do that, and people are not going to obey. They will just make their own decision and say, you know, I'm not going to obey that law because that means my family's going to starve to death.
Okay.
And they just won't obey it. And I applaud them, you know, because you don't have to, you know, a law against a law can't be made.
Well, Franklin Sanders knows what he speaks. Go to his website, themoneychanger.com, which is the, T-H-E, and then dash, moneychanger.com, and there's a, you can learn about his background and what he had to go through by doing exactly what he said, refusing to obey an unjust law. Also, go to volunteerpreciousmetals.com. That's where I buy gold and silver, and I think they're the best in the business, and that's his family business as well, volunteerpreciousmetals.com.
One other thing, Bill.
Yes, sir, I'm going to give you the last word.
I publish a daily commentary on the gold and silver markets. It's free. Your listeners can sign up at the-moneychanger.com. There's a box there on the right that says subscribe, and I encourage them to do that.
I do too. Franklin Sanders, thank you so very much. It's always a mind-blowing experience to talk to you, and I certainly learn a lot, and I'm sure our audience does as well.
Thanks for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You bet. Bye-bye.